Thank you so much, Pastor Rick. It's so good to be here. It's so great to see the Bansons here. It's so good to see them. And I was just seeing Danny and Holly over there. So great to see you folks. I was thinking about them just a minute ago because in Ireland we don't have syrup. And I was missing Danny's syrup. In Ireland, every time I wanted pancakes or something, like, man, if I could just get some of Danny's syrup, all would be right in the world. Amen? And so it's really great to see everybody. Honestly, I could name everybody's name, I'm sure. But really, we just thank you so much for allowing us to come and just share this morning. We're so pleased to be here. I'm not going to let, but Melissa's going to come and she's going to share.
Thanks for allowing me. Yeah. Good morning. It is just home coming back here to worship with you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your prayers and your financial partnership all through COVID. Praise God, our budget has stayed strong because of churches like you that have been faithful even during trying times here in the States. And we're just so grateful for that. As you know, we have spent the last 3 years just a hop across the pond in Western Ireland, which gets the most rain of all. So we are so enjoying the sunshine here. And how many of you here like to talk about your kids or your grandkids? All right. I am no exception. So that's what I'm going to do. I think there's a picture. If you want to maybe cue up the pictures, I think there's one of our family. All three of our kiddos are here today. Will is almost 19. He is headed off to university in Minneapolis, North Central Bible College, or North Central University, this coming fall, in just actually a couple weeks. Logan is 16, and he will be a junior. And they've all grown so much. It's not that we feel any older, right? It's just they've gotten taller, so that's just it, right? And then Victoria is in eighth grade this year, so we're so happy they could be here today. I just want to share with you how God has used them on the mission field. I think Bill and I could have just stayed here and just hung out with all of you and sent the kids, and they would have been fine, maybe. We'll see. But Will, he attended a local Irish public school for secondary school, and the instructors there say there's no God, or God is not real. You see, how it works in Ireland is almost all of the elementary schools are Catholic. So for the first 7 years or so, the students are instructed in Catholicism. But then over the course of about one summer between that elementary school and secondary school, all of the teaching changes. They go into secondary school and all that teaching has changed. And now they're told there's no God or you can do whatever religion you want. So there's all these kids that are actually really confused. Like, so everything you just taught me, that's not real. That's not right. Teachers are offering their own opinions, their own ideas and views. These kids are confused. Will had an incredible opportunity to do an internship for 2 years with a ministry called Ontober Nua, which means a new thing in Gaelic, in Irish. And because of the favor of God on this specific ministry, these teams were able to go into the public schools all across Ireland and help teach religious education. So for 2 years, Will literally walked into the secular public schools of Ireland and shared his testimony of overcoming so much in his life and literally preaching the gospel to students there. Amen. It just, praise God, yes. I still can't believe that he had that opportunity, that our kid got to do that, to share that when times are tough, God is there. When you don't have a hope, when you don't have a friend, God is there. And Will had the opportunity, he got to experience secondary school students in Ireland receive Jesus for the very first time again and again. So praise God. Then Logan, he attended the secondary schools for a couple of years there as well, where his peers were absolutely lost. He didn't personally know of another Christian within his school. And he'd often get asked, why do you act the way you do? Why don't you cuss? And there's a load of swearing and cussing in Ireland. Why don't you go to the discos? And, you know, through spending time there, he became burdened for his peers, burdened for the children of Ireland. And he wanted to be involved to make a change. And so he jumped on board in helping us launch our children's ministries in the church we were working at, which ended up becoming Western Ireland's largest children's ministries. There's Logan there doing the tech. And Logan was instrumental in so many ways, from helping with games to training other people in on sound and technology, faithfully setting up, tearing down the chairs, the room every single week. If it needed to be done, this kid jumped on board and did it. And really, without all three of our kids, that children's ministries would not be where it is today without them. Praise God. And then Victoria, last but not least, she attended an Irish rural country primary school. She was the only student of any other color in the history of that school. She was also the only one that was not considered Catholic. You know, one might think that there's not a lot of differences between Ireland and the U.S. because it's just, you know, a short ways away. They speak English. But the fact is, really, the only commonality really is we all walk on 2 feet. There's just so many differences from skin color, lots of immigrants. Ireland is not a sea of white faces anymore. To driving on the opposite side of the road, we've been teaching our kids to drive. I've been helping Logan teach Logan to drive, and literally, we're getting better now, but I had to focus on teaching him, like, this side of the road. He's doing great. From being on island time, which is a much slower time, which helps us teach us a lot of patience, to phrases that are used. For example, in the schools, for the word math, they use the plural maths, and they say mats. We're going to do mats today, meaning arithmetic. And so on one particular day, Victoria's teacher told her, she said, we're going to go across the street to the church, the Catholic church right across the street, and we're going to do maths. So Victoria's like, what? That's weird. So why would we do math? Okay, whatever. So they all go across the street, and they get settled, and then Victoria realizes, oh, this is Catholic mass, not maths, okay? But here's the thing. That day, and a couple of other days, they have confession, where all these primary students, they go up one by one, they talk to the priest, tell them their sins, whatever they've done wrong. And Victoria, if you want to come on up here and maybe get her music cued, if you've got that ready soon. They go up there and confess their sin, except for Victoria. And this gave her the opportunity to share with her friends that she simply talked directly to Jesus to confess her sin. And furthermore, it opened the door, I think we've got a picture, yep, there, of Victoria to lead her friend Roisin to Jesus out on the playground. And Roisin is in the blue coat on your right. That's Roisin there. So please continue to keep Roisin in her prayers. So praise God for how he uses our kids, amen, in ministry, both here and all around the world. So Victoria has a special treat for you right now. She did 3 years of Irish dancing, and so she's going to share a little bit of that with you today. So
job, Victoria. Her instructor actually couldn't believe how quickly she picked it up. She also earned the Irish language. We would call it Gaelic. And she picked it up very quickly, too. She's just an amazing young lady. You first, Danny. Come on. And by faith, right? Let's go. Come on. Here we go. But seriously, it's so good to be here, folks. We really do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning. And just to be able to share what God is doing. I had a phone at one point. I don't know what I did with it. Did you see my phone somewhere? Did you grab my phone? Oh, okay, there we go. Aha, I might need that. I don't know if I do or not, but I might need it. But it really is just so funny. You know, like all the differences in cultures And it's just, you think because they speak English, it's just like our culture, but the reality is it's just so very different. You know, there's just loads of things that are funny about it. One of the things that happened, it's probably certainly like, I don't know, we were maybe just there for a few weeks, and we'd got to know our neighbor, and his name was Darren, and he was a really amazing guy. And I began to ask him, you know, like, well, how do I set up certain things? You know, you need certain things when you get there, right? You need, you know, electricity. That always helps, amen? And heat and water and all that kind of good stuff. And one of the things that I thought, well, I should probably get some internet so I can communicate back and forth with my our partners. And so I asked my friend Darren, I said, hey, Darren, how do I get internet? What's a good company to go through? And he's like, well, I would recommend AIR. And I don't know if you know anything about Ireland, but there's probably about 50 different ways to spell the word AIR in Ireland. You know, A-E-R, E-I-R, you know, like, I don't know, A-I-R, you know, all these different ways to spell AIR. So I asked him, I said, Darren, how do you spell that? And because I just knew, like, I got to get the spelling right if I'm going to look it up and figure out how to get this internet. And he says, well, it's E-I-O-R. And I'm like, oh, boy, I didn't get that. It seemed like you said something a little different. I'm like, could you say that one more time? And he says, well, it's E-I-O-R. And I thought, oh, boy, I still didn't get that. And now I'm feeling kind of conscientious, you know what I mean? Once you ask something, you know, you ever do that? You're asking somebody a question, you ask them once, you ask them twice, and you think, okay, they're thinking you're a little slow, or there's something wrong with you, or, you know, you got hard of hearing or something like that. And then, oh boy, this is not going good. I don't know Darren that well. You know what I mean? I think Darren's going to start, you know, every time he sees me, start talking really loud, like, hey, Bill, it's good to see you. I'm like, no, Darren, I'm not hard of hearing. So I'm thinking, well, I need to ask him because I really have to find this out. So I'm like, Darren, I'm so sorry. Could you just say that one more time, maybe a little slower? And I could just see the puzzlement on his face, like, what is wrong with you? He's like, E-I-O-R. And I still don't get it. I'm just like, no, it's not clicking yet. And thank God Melissa was there. She came to my rescue and she's like, it's E-I-R. He's saying R. It's the word R. Well, in Ireland, the letter R, they say or instead of R. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're kidding me. So cultures are always funny. You know, it's always weird going to a different culture. I had an amazing friend, a really godly man. Ireland, really evangelical churches, Pentecostal churches, spirit-filled churches are kind of a new thing yet to Ireland. It's probably only been in the last 30 years that we've had evangelical churches. It was all Catholic churches prior to that. And I have a really good friend of mine from the north, Northern Ireland, which is actually a different country for those that don't know. And he was telling me it was the Evangelical Gospel Businessmen's Association that had a revival that really brought and started about 30 years ago churches being planted in Ireland. So most of our communities, like Rochester, if you know, a city of, you know, 5,000 or 10,000, something like that, would only have a Catholic church. They would not have any kind of spirit-filled evangelical church. It would, you know, no Baptist, no Pentecostal, no nothing. It would just be the Catholic Church. And so, you know, our goal, our call to Ireland was really to plant churches. And I was just thinking, you know, a minute ago, it's amazing how God has allowed us to do this. But it's also, it's interesting how Satan has attacked Ireland in the recent years. And many of you know, or may know, that in recent years, Ireland passed the gay marriage amendment. And they weren't sure how that was going to go. That passed with flying colors. Not only that, but just, what was it, a year ago, a year and a half ago? Was it 2 years ago? Something like that. Ireland was one of the last nations to completely outlaw abortion. You could not get an abortion no matter what in Ireland. And so they were trying to, turn that over. And a lot of the, Christians, a lot of the people in the country thought, you know, this is probably not going to happen. And if it does, it'll be a very, very narrow margin. Not only did it get passed, but it got passed in an overwhelming majority. I say that because I want you to understand that I really believe Satan is attacking these places that are considered a Christian nation. Ireland was one of the last nations that is still considered or was considered a Christian nation. And I would say very easily, I would say without a doubt, Ireland is far from that. They may be Christian in name, but not in practice. It's only Christian by the fact that they consider themselves Catholic, and it's more that they're born to Catholicism, not that they have any relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that, you know, in these last years, Satan has destroyed any semblance of Christianity, I'd say, in Ireland, and now is tearing this nation apart. Probably one of the last true Christian nations on the face of the earth. I know, you know, Australia's had revivals and all that, but I mean, the nations you really think about that are really designated, that you would say, these are Christian nations. And it's amazing how Satan is just trying his best to destroy these cultures. Cultures are very important, and cultures key in so many areas. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about this morning. If you would just turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, it's amazing being a missionary in Europe. And I think so often we get a lot of thoughts and ideas coming our way. You know, why in the world would you be a missionary in Europe? You know, haven't they already had their opportunity? Isn't Europe a Christian place? Isn't there loads of churches in Europe? And that's all maybe true in some ways. But the reality is Europe is only the only continent right now on the face of the earth where Christianity is dying. We are losing more Christians than are coming to the Lord. And so being a missionary in Europe is a very unique thing. And I feel like it's almost like in many ways, remember back in the Bible when you have Moses and he's going to Pharaoh, remember that whole story and the plagues come and all that. And you remember in that story, time and time again, we hear this this one phrase, and it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, right? And it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And eventually, what does it say? And God, the Lord, hardened Pharaoh's heart. Folks, that's where Europe is today. I would much rather have a nation like India that stooped in paganism, in false religions, and it was far easier to minister to the people because at least they were open to the religious. I mean, they were worshiping all kinds of the wrong gods, and they were always like, you know, if you wanted to, you know, talk to them about Jesus, they're like, sure, I'll add Jesus to my other million gods that I worship. That's no problem. But they were at least open to the idea. Most Europeans today are not even open to the idea of Jesus. In fact, they feel like it's much, much like this. Like, we've done the religion thing. We've done the church thing. We're done with that. We're not going back. So that's the thing that we're seeing in Europe today. Most Europeans. Now, the great thing is, I mean, there's loads of immigrants that have poured in. And because of those immigrants, we do see the church growing and going forth. But by and large, we don't see very, very, very few Europeans, actual people born in Europe, coming to Jesus. And so why is that? What do we do about that? How do you confront that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says this. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the what? And the what? In the evil day. Boy, doesn't it feel like sometimes we're right there? That it feels like we're in the evil day? And having done all to do what? And having done all, my Bible says to stand, right? So having done all to stand. And so what does that mean? What does that look like? I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. You know, put on the full armor of God. You know, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, all of the armor. And once you've done all of that, once you've done all that you can, you know, what do we do next? You know, I was thinking about Josh, you know, like, once you've prayed all the prayers, once you stood in faith, now what do you do? And the Bible says we're to stand. But I think sometimes we get the false impression there. If we just read that verse, I think we have this idea that we're to be idle. And that's not what Paul's talking about at all. Look at the verse prior to that in verse 12. I really like this. This is just really great. You ever read those verses in the Bible where you've read it 1,000 times, 100 times, you've quoted it, you've referenced it, you've just heard it time and time again, and all of a sudden you hear it again, and bam, I mean, the Holy Spirit hits you, and before you know it, there's something that just comes out alive in the passage. I was reading this not too long ago, and I was reading this, and I thought, boy, this is just really good. And verse 12, it says, For we do not what? My Bible says wrestle. What does yours say? We do not what? Wrestle, right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what we wrestle against, not the flesh and blood. And I was talking with my boys not too long ago, and Victoria, and they were asking me, Dad, why does it seem like people just don't get it? Why are people destroying this country? Why do people get all these crazy debates on Facebook? I think it's funny when I see people debating on Facebook about different issues, and it seems to go back and forth and not go anywhere. I'm thinking, you know, that person you're debating with was that same person that ate the paste in kindergarten, right? You know, that's what I'm talking about. But you see, why is it so difficult? Why is it when you talk about these, it seems like people are being absolutely irrational, and you can't talk about truth with them? And I told the boys, I said, it's because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It's because our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? It's against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness. And you need to understand that you will never rationalize with a demon into reality, into truth, into God's word. Because demons will always want to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. That's all. They will never come on your side. And so, when we look at these kinds of scriptures, when we look at this, it's so, I really feel like it's a word for our day and age where we're at right now. If ever there was a scripture for today, I feel like it's Ephesians chapter 12. And then, Paul goes on, he says this word though, he says this, we do not wrestle. It's very important there. You know, he could have said, we do not fight, we do not war, we do not struggle. He could have used any word there. But if you look in the Greek, it's actually the word wrestle, this idea of wrestle, this really picture of Greco-Roman wrestling. Now, I'm not talking about the WWE, you know, flying off the top rope and doing body slams and all that kind of, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Greco-Roman wrestling. We're not even talking about the Olympic Greco-Roman wrestling where they have, like, you know, points and all that kind of stuff. This is really the Roman idea of Greco-Roman wrestling, which would have been two guys, if you can imagine, soldiers, they're hanging out, you know, maybe their day's done and they're all at the camp or whatever, and they're looking for some entertainment. So the entertainment is they're going to wrestle each other because they're young and they're full of, you know, vinegar and ready to go and fight each other and whatever. And so the wrestling would be them two guys standing in the dirt and trying to throw the other guy down. That was how you won. You threw the guy down to the ground and you won the match. And so here's the picture that Paul's trying to bring to us. He's saying, listen, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and so on and so forth. So this idea is not standing idle, but it's a contending with. Amen. I was just thinking, Kay, when you were sharing that word, I think it was, maybe I'm totally off on this, but it's been a long time ago. I think you told a story about Jeremy once, and he was really, really sick, and you took him to your church, and you didn't know what to do, because, I mean, he was turning blue, if I remember right. Yeah, he drowned, wasn't it? Yeah, and you took him to the church, and the saints prayed on him, and he got all better, and God saved his life. And so, let's wrestle. When Josh comes, let's wrestle. You know, this is a spiritual attack, amen? And, you know, same thing with Melissa. You know, what happens when you get kicked down and knocked down? Folks, I think Paul's telling us, get back on your feet and get wrestling again. Get contending again. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't surrender. Don't give in just because it seems like everything is lost, just because it's an evil day, just because it's a dark day, just because it's a difficult time, just because you got knocked down a few times. Get back up and let's wrestle. It's not a standing idle. It's not a staying down. It's a wrestling. It's, you know, I can imagine when the guy got thrown down in the Roman times, he got right back up and he went back at it. And it's knowing who we're wrestling against. We're not wrestling against the flesh and blood. Don't get angry at your president. Don't get angry at your congressman. Don't get angry at your mayor or whoever. Don't get angry at your neighbor because they don't understand the truth. The reality is we should be praying. We should be saying, God, God, release God, we push back the darkness in Jesus' name. God, we pray against the spiritual forces of wickedness. God, we pray against the principalities and powers that are ruling their lives. And so I share this because I really feel this is a word for our nation, and not only that, but specifically Europe. Europe is absolutely ruled and controlled by demonic powers, without a doubt. Those nations, by and large, every missionary I talk to in every nation of Europe, you talk to them and you say, what do you think about Europeans? They say, they don't care. They don't care about God. There is a ruling darkness over that area that has denied the work of God. You know, the only unforgivable sin, of course, is the denial of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And so, we're just contending against that. So, as you know, as Pastor said, we're not able to go back in Ireland. Ireland, I would say this is another just spiritual attack on this country. We have been serving there for 3 years, about a year ago, a little over a year ago now. Ireland, changed their immigration, especially their, visa laws. They used to allow missionaries. It was no big deal. You know, they were considered a Christian nation, da, da, da. Well, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, they said, we're closing off to missionaries. And, specifically, they're not going to allow people to, you know, they'll still kind of allow some missionaries, but they're not going to allow them to stay after 3 years. So like the first 3 years, you can kind of get in still a little bit. But after that, forget it. You're not going to be allowed in. And so that really closed the door to us. And so we have something called the Evangelical Alliance in Ireland. And together we went and we asked immigration. We said, what's going on? What gives? Like, you know, this is crazy. Why are you doing this? And they said, well, you know, this is off the record. We're never going to publicize this, but you need to understand it's because of the Muslims. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not trying to pick on the Muslims. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Muslims are overtaking Europe in many ways. If you go to the UK, if you go to England, especially some cities like Birmingham, I mean, they're just inundated with Muslims. I mean, to the point where they control everything. And because of that threat, Ireland just said, no, we're just going to shut it all off. We're not going to allow anybody in. And so because of that, we're not able to go back into Ireland at this time. I mean, eventually we'll find creative ways to get into Ireland. But at least for the Chapel family, we're not going to go back in, which just breaks our heart. You know, the way that we were pushing back the darkness, the way that we were contending is, as many of you know, we had the opportunity to plant a church in the city of Chum. Chum is a city that was about 30 miles north, east of the city of Galway where we were working. We had been praying about this. We had had a small Bible study going in the city of Chum. We had been contending for the city. And part of the reason for the contention was, this was a city that was heartbroken. Not many years ago, just a few years ago, they had uncovered what they, have found out was mass graves. Basically in the 50s and 60s, maybe the 70s, they had, the Catholic Church has incredible power in Ireland. I don't know if you understand that. More so than you can ever imagine here in the U.S. So much so that, you know, the people, you know, the church says, you know, jump, and they say, how high? At that time, they had so much power, they would go into homes of unwed mothers. They would literally take their babies away from them, and they put them in what they called mother and baby homes. Infant mortality rate was fairly high at that time. Many of these babies died for just maybe not even necessarily the lack of care. They just, you know, diseases and all that. Well, for lack of what to do with these babies, because they, you know, they were, you know, kids of unwed mothers, they dumped them in what was essentially a septic tank. They found loads of babies in the septic tank. Well, this was mostly people that were travelers. So the travelers would be the gypsies in many nations. We call them travelers in Ireland. Traveling community is often not as well educated. They are very Catholic in origin. They really rely on the Catholic Church as far as, you know, their religion and their faith. You know, whatever the Catholic Church says, they kind of do. And so they came to the priests of the Catholic Church and the and the leadership, they said, hey, what does this mean for our children? Well, if you know a little bit about Catholicism, if you're not buried in hallowed ground, if you're not buried in holy ground, not buried in an actual a cemetery, you know, you can't, you know, go on to heaven, at least in their practice. And so they said, what does that mean for our children and our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces that were in that mass grave? And they said, well, you know, sorry, they can't go to heaven. Well, you can imagine what a crushing and devastating blow that was. So there's this cry of the people. We started this Bible study in the city of Chum, and we had mothers and family members coming to our Bible study, and they're literally in tears saying, are our kids going to hell? Are they all going to hell? And of course, you know, being evangelicals, we were able to say, no, no, they're not. You know, they were before the age of accountability. They, you know, if they died as an infant, you know, they're in heaven with Jesus. And which was such a relief, and we had such grace and favor of the Lord during that Bible study, and it was growing. I mean, it was growing. We had about 20 or so people coming from the traveling community until one day, all of a sudden, they didn't show up. We're like, what is going on? Like, you know, we had it on Wednesday night. You know, we had all these people, and then, like, nobody. And so we asked one of the gals that had really been connected, and she was kind of, like, more leading and bringing people and things like that. And she said, well, the bishop came to us and said, if you continue to go to that Bible study, it will not baptize any of your children. This is the kind of power and influence that they have in Ireland. And the sad thing to me was, you know, it's like we're warring against each other, folks. I mean, Ireland has the second highest suicide rate in all of Europe, has kids that are absolutely lost and confused and going to hell, and yet the church is warring against the evangelical church. I thought, that's crazy. So we went ahead, we planted a church, we wanted to do it on a Sunday morning. The Catholic leadership in the community said, no, you won't do it on a Sunday morning. So we said, well, okay, can we do it on a Saturday night? They said, okay, we'll let you do it on a Saturday night. So we'll do it on a Saturday night. And so we wound up doing it on a Saturday night. And I wonder if we could cue up that video, John. I just want to show you, maybe some of you probably seen this video, but it's a great video. And we just kind of show you a little bit what happened that night. God, amen. So we had packed out service after packed out service after packed out service, and it was three services, and that was it, and the COVID hit, right? And so after that, we still had about 40 to 50 people-ish online that were still doing services with us. We have recently just were able to launch another, launch out into services again. Ireland has been very closed down all through COVID. But we're just praying and believing that God's going to continue that ministry. It's been so exciting to be in that city. And we just want to thank you for the opportunity to have been able to plant that church. It's because of your faithfulness and your prayers that we were able to do that. And it's just been incredible to see how people have responded in that city of Chum. Now we get to go the opportunity to go to Hungary. Hungary is a nation that was formerly under communism, as many of you know, and was very closed off. All of that area that was formerly under communism, it's amazing how the people, they seem to be always like super gun shy. They're like always waiting for the boot to fall. You know what I mean? They're always just waiting for the next thing to hit. And it feels like they're always just kind of like a little closed off. Like they just feel like it's almost like when you're there, it feels a little like, you know, like, okay, we're moving out and doing things, but we're just ready to pull back if need be. You know what I mean? And, And so among those nations, probably the one that has progressed the farthest, the fastest, is Hungary. Hungary has embraced Western culture, Western ideals, and even some of Western Christianity, and is a very, very open nation. We're going to go work with another church plant. We're going to work that. There's a church that's been going for about 5 years. Our goal and our prayer is to work with that church. It's been exploding over the last couple of years. They're looking at going to a new building, so we're going to partner with them to open up that new building. And then out of that growth, we're hoping to see more growth. Then out of the growth, plant again and another church in that city. And so that's their hunger, or their desire, their hunger. No pun intended. That's what God's called us to do. We really feel like God's called us to be church planters, you know, because we know that where the church goes, you know, the one thing Satan can't stand against is the church. Amen. And so, so today I'd like to maybe just finish out the service by doing this. I know that, you probably just about all of you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I probably get that, but, I would be remiss to not give you opportunity. Romans, 10 verse 9. If you don't know that verse, I would really encourage you to memorize that verse. It's a great verse. I think I've told you folks before, the way I memorize the references is I make them, different things that I use all the time. You know, like, many of you might remember my old, email, 1 Peter 2:24. I still have that email because, I just wanted to know where's by his stripes were healed found. Like, I know the verse. You know, I can quote it to you, but if somebody ever asks, I say, I don't know, it's in the Bible somewhere, but I wanted to know. So I made it my email so I'd never forget. And so Romans 10:9, I really encourage you, memorize that verse. It says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. Amen. So if you don't know Jesus today, make sure you talk to Pastor Rick or Pastor Terry. You can talk to me. You can talk to, I'm sure, Steve and Joanne. Grab anybody here and just ask them to lead you through a simple prayer that says, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. With my mouth, out loud, I'm going to say, Jesus Christ, I want you to become part of my life. I don't want to face COVID and all the craziness that's going on in this life alone. I want you in it. I want you to lead me and direct me and give me wisdom. Amen. And in doing that, the Bible says if you will just take a small step of faith, not a leap, a small step to believe that he died on a cross, was raised again for your salvation and your freedom from sin, then you shall be what? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from a life without Christ and saved from a hell to come and a heaven again. Amen. So it's simply just a simple prayer, just saying, God, please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be the Lord on my life. And God, in the midst of that, God, I believe that you died on a cross for me and you rose again. And by that, God, I can be saved. And if you'll do that today, the Bible guarantees that you'll be saved. The rest of us, this is how I'd like to close the service. The Bible says in Paul told us where to wrestle, right? So let's do a little wrestling this morning. I don't mean physically with each other. That'd be crazy, right? But that'd be funny, wouldn't it? Especially during COVID. Wouldn't that be some great pictures? Look at the church wrestling each other. The way I think we should do it tonight is this. Let's wrestle for Josh. Let's wrestle for those that just need a physical touch this morning. Let's wrestle for those that are in darkness. You know some friends. How many would say, I know somebody who doesn't know Jesus? A neighbor, a loved one, a son, a daughter, a coworker, whoever it is, let's wrestle from today. And so the way we're going to do it, I'm just going to close in prayer and turn it back over to Pastor Rick. But I like to pray this way. If you know somebody that just needs to know Jesus, you know somebody that you just needs a touch from Jesus Christ. You know, I just felt like the name Shannon came into my heart. I don't know if there's a Shannon that you're connected with. Maybe when I said that, Shannon came to your head. If that's you, I just feel like maybe Shannon, God's doing something in Shannon's life today. If you know somebody that just needs a touch, I think we all do, just raise your hand symbolically saying, Jesus, I'm praying, I'm contending for their life today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity just to come and share. God, I just believe that you're doing something amazing, not only in this church and these folks' lives, but in this nation. God, I don't think you're done with America yet. God, we are, I really believe, the nation that continues to strive. At least many of us are striving to be that Christian nation still, that Christian nation we were founded upon. So God, we pray that you would continue, God, to set up godly men and women in leadership positions and places of authority. God, that they would speak to truth and speak your word in Jesus' name. God, I pray for Josh right now. God, we curse cancer in the name of Jesus. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would just come upon his body. God, we say in the name of Jesus, Satan, you get off of him in Jesus' name. You have no right to his life. You have no right to his body. In Jesus' name, we pray that God, you would just do a miracle that would astound doctors and physicians and would just be a resounding miracle in the lives of people that Josh is in contact with. God, that would be so amazing that people would just begin to receive Jesus Christ for the very first time. God, we pray, lay a hold of Melissa. We pray just against that cancer in Jesus' name, that it would be loosed from her body in Jesus' name. God, we pray for everybody, Father, in this house, God, that knows a loved one. God, we just contend for their soul right now. God, you said in your word that if no one comes to the Father unless you draw them. And so, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, go and begin to draw every person that we've been thinking about as a person that we raised our hand for in Jesus' name. God, if there's somebody that with a physical ailment in Jesus' name, God, just move upon their life. And so, God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this wonderful body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Rick, please.